Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come
aboard.
Happy Friday. North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the four-hour space shuttle shuffle. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Reno to Rhode Island, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage. It's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It is a good morning.
Good morning, D.A. How are you?
We've got a big Target Demo Friday show. Target Demo Friday, one of our favorite days of the week, because we get to hear from you guys what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, how you're listening. We get to learn about the D-Alien in all of our lives, the D-Alien that means the most to us, all of you. And so, on either Facebook or on Twitter.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
That could be a problem. We want you to let us know where you're at, how you're listening, and what you're up to. I'll read through those coming up here at the end of the show on a Target Demo Friday. We'll have a live report from the Senior Bowl with lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, Mike Renner. He's going to join us in hour number three. Also this morning, is Giancarlo Stanton the biggest bum in baseball? Mraz thinks so. Why are pro bowlers playing dodgeball this week? Did Mike Shanahan, Mike, almost commit the biggest Super Bowl blunder ever? Would Tom Brady really go to Las Vegas to play for the Raiders? Eli Manning's retirement. Jimmy G disrespected. We are stunned to a news and claims that we here on the DA show, little old us, who has never had a day that we didn't try to be our best person, are fat shamers.
Chubbo.
I almost feel uncomfortable saying the word because Mraz has recalibrated me to not even use the F word. But in this case, I have to. There are calls, cries on this network, by a host on this network that we on the DA show are fat shaming.
Good morning. How are you?
And I just can't believe such accusations are being attached to us.
Puffiness with sodium.
I don't appreciate the fact that my colleagues, my peers, look at me as somebody who would crassly accuse others of being overweight.
Itchy nipple chub rub.
So we will address this hour because I don't want to be known as the show that makes other people feel bad about their bodies. I want to be a better DA show in 2020.
Chubbo.
All right, so here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Going into Super Bowl 54, where we will be on Radio Row next week in Miami, South Beach, the site of Super Bowl 54. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, is going to get a lot of attention over the next week plus, and understandably so. He is obviously, at this point in time, one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in football. And he's only in his third season overall, his second season as a starter. So to already have done this, have an NFL MVP award, having thrown for over 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards last season, to lead his team to back-to-back AFC Championship games, and now be in the Super Bowl before the age of 25 is pretty staggering. But what's also staggering is his numbers at this point in time in these two postseason runs. Patrick Mahomes has played in four playoff games. He's won three of them. The other one, he lost in overtime after never touching the football. And I think we can all agree, had the Chiefs won the coin toss last year, more than likely, Mahomes and the Chiefs were going to the Super Bowl. He would be, depending on last year's Super Bowl, had another win in that win column for the postseason career. Also, had Dee Ford line up on sides, he also would have had a win there. So he is that loss, that close from being a perfect record in the playoffs, at least the AFC playoffs. And when you look at his touchdown-interception ratio, it's even more off the charts what he has accounted for without making mistakes in these postseason games. And I had a chance to look back at some of the greatest of all time, the last couple of decades of great quarterbacks. And when you see Mahomes and you see his numbers matched up against those other numbers, it really puts into context, my goodness, what he has already accomplished. Has Mahomes had the best playoff start ever for a quarterback? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Twist motion by the Titans with defensive pressure, but Mahomes has time here. He throws it long. He's got a man in the middle of the field. Watkins, 15, 10, 5, angling left. Touchdown, Kansas City, a 60-yard touchdown.
For me, it's just about, like we said, talking to Coach Reed, talking to Suggs, all these guys that have been in these games, getting a feel for having to run out of the tunnel and then wait around a little bit before you get going and kind of building and kind of containing your emotions and being able to get there and really just play football when it comes down to it.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Mitch Holtis, Chiefs Radio.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
So let me just give you the touchdown to interception ratios of some of the greatest quarterbacks ever, dating back to Joe Montana's first four playoff games. This is the first four postseason games they have played in. Tom Brady. His first four playoff games, okay, and that included, of course, the first three going through the postseason in 2001 and winning the Super Bowl. First four playoff games for Tom Brady, two passing touchdowns, one interception. Four playoff games, two touchdowns, one interception. John Elway, first four playoff games, four touchdowns, six interceptions. Brett Favre. Five touchdowns, four interceptions. Peyton Manning, first four playoff games. Five touchdowns, three interceptions. Joe Montana, first four playoff games. Seven touchdowns, five INTs. Let me just go back over. These are the greatest quarterbacks of this generation dating back to Joe Montana. Brady, an INT in his first four. John Elway, six INTs in his first four. Favre, four INTs in his first four. Peyton Manning, three interceptions. Joe Montana, five interceptions. Patrick Mahomes, in his first four playoff games, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. Now, we've got to be fair about this postseason. He's exploded the last two games, and he's played, you could say, underwhelming competition compared to some historically great teams. I mean, the Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans weren't exactly all-time greats. They weren't exactly all-time teams, all-time defenses, or teams that have been there before. So you've got to at least factor that in. But remember, Mahomes last year in the AFC Championship game also accounted for 3 touchdowns through the air and no interceptions against the New England Patriots. And when you look at combined touchdowns, Mahomes has 2 more because he's rushed for 2 touchdowns in his playoff career. So really right now, he's accounted for 13 touchdowns and no turnovers in his first 4 playoff games. And it is so staggering. And granted, look, this is a different era certainly than Joe Montana played in the early 80s, than John Elway played in the mid 80s, than even Tom Brady and Brett Favre and Peyton Manning played in to a certain degree. But Patrick Mahomes having 13 touchdowns against no interceptions in his first 4 playoff games where there is no learning curve is really astounding. Now, part of that also, remember, he has played in all 4 of them at home. No road playoff games yet. This will be his first away from Arrowhead Stadium. Still, what Mahomes is proving is not only is he capable of huge offensive plays, efforts, games, tallies, and wins, but he's limiting mistakes. He's limiting the bad throws that throw you out of games. That's something that all these young quarterbacks that even becoming great had to figure out. You know, Tom Brady, obviously early in his career, is the dreaded game manager. But he's not turning the football over, but he's making sure he's not taking chances. John Elway is turning the football over. Even Joe Montana, 5 interceptions, first 4 playoff games, turning the football over. Peyton Manning trying to figure things out, especially against those great Patriots defenses of the early aughts. Brett Favre could always throw you into a game, throw you out of a game. Mahomes is doing this without turning the football over. And that's, to me, what is the single most impressive part about this. When you just stack the numbers against one another, it is really jaw-dropping at just how explosive he has been without giving the football back to the opponent. It's the best playoff start ever for a quarterback. 11 touchdowns through the air, 2 on the ground, no INTs. And an overtime loss of the Patriots last year away from having won every playoff game he's been in. Depending, obviously, on what would have happened in the Super Bowl against the Rams last year. So here's your phone number if you want to chime in. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Or hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. So much to get to this morning on the show. But I want to start this hour by really doing some cleansing here, by really addressing something that could be considered the overweight skeleton in the closet, the chunky elephant in the room. And that would be whether or not the DA show is guilty of fat shaming. And in 2020, obviously, it's very important to be as sensitive as you can to other people's feelings. And so after yesterday, when Mraz had declared his food boot camp, his dietary boot camp, we took some heat here on CBS Sports Radio for not taking it seriously enough. We'll have that clip for you coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
I was very known on Long Island for being the first one to put bacon on the chicken teriyaki. I know this is true.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, it's time to ask the pros this morning, where you get to pick a question, any question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply send it to me at Twitter, DA on CBS, and submit your question. Be listening later on to the show and I'll answer it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. And we have a gift for you this Friday. In fact, it's a gift for you this Friday, many of them. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of WatchDA.com. This is why he's an all-star. Is because he has taken the best video moments in DA show history and turned them into gifts for you to use, to watch, to tweet, to laugh at, to cry over. All you have to do is go to at CBS Sports Radio. All throughout this morning, he's going to be tweeting out the gifts. So you can use them, you'll have them. He'll also use the hashtag DAGIFs, plural. Hashtag DAGIFs. And so this weekend, next week, all time, if you want to search Mraz licking the inside of a peanut butter bag, if you want to see me doing some type of awkward dance, if you want to see Pete the Body Bilotti doing a little finger salute dance routine, if you want to see Mraz and Bilotti posting one another up behind the glass during the strike-shortened Monday episode, just search the hashtag DAGIFs. Throughout the morning today, Andrew Kaplan is going to be tweeting them out. At CBS Sports Radio, hashtag DAGIFs. And Mraz, if that's not the gift that keeps on giving, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that we can have our own gift department. We now have a gift department back there run by the Wizard of Watch DA. And frankly, we're off to a flying start this morning as I see that me about 40 pounds ago is being put up on Twitter here.
And not only is it you 40 pounds ago, it's you 40 pounds ago in nothing but a tank top. I don't know why you had no overshirt on.
Yeah, and judging by my chest, I'd say a little cold in the studio that day.
I would say so. Could cut glass with those things.
Gross.
Ugh. The gifts are flowing this morning. Hashtag DAGIFs. So, you know, yesterday, if you listen to the show, you heard Mraz declare that he was going to go on a dietary boot camp starting the day after the Super Bowl. That he is saying no to booze, no to French fries, no to ice cream, most desserts except for cookies, which he feels is mandatory for blood sugar level to keep high. So me and Bogish and Bilotti had a few laughs at that expense, especially when Mraz said, well, boot camp's going to take a day off because I've got tickets to the Brooklyn Nets game, but then I'm going to go right back to boot camp. And then after boot camp, if I feel like I'm seeing results, I'll continue on my diet, but if I don't, I'm giving up. I'm punting.
Protein?
So we had some laughs at this. And it was a video that got a lot of attention yesterday on social media. And my friend Zach Gelb, who hosts evenings here on CBS Sports Radio, a man that is now hosting a time slot I used to host, although that's basically every host here on CBS Sports Radio, calls me out and this show out for fat shaming?
DA may sit there and maybe he'll fat shame Mraz.
Yeah, you look like Nacho Supreme Libre right now.
Captain Insano.
Mr. Bogish at the plate will step up to the plate and he'll try to eviscerate and fat shame Mraz.
Fire that fat sack of protoplasm.
I will be there to help Sean Mraz.
He looks like Jim Fossil, added 100 pounds and finally found work. Fatso dancing.
DA may sit there and maybe he'll fat shame Mraz.
This is worse than my idea of a
no,
giant.
It's not, because your blood sugar gets potato. Low.
Having a gallon of mashed potato with bacon and cheese on top, you might as well have a French fry.
And seven cookies right. After.
But I didn't have cake. Mr. Bogish at the plate will step up to the plate and he'll try to eviscerate and fat shame Mraz. I heard Mraz saying, I'll have a cookie here or there. You got to cut out the cookies. That's very important.
Now, I really like Zach. I consider Zach a friend. And for Zach to say that I fat shame Mraz, I'm not even supposed to say the F word. Mraz has taught me this over time, that is an offensive word to those that are husky, chunky, big-boned, overweight, flabby.
Fat. Against something only heavy people can say to each other. Not from you and your skinny ivory tower where you weren't allowed preservatives as a kid to fire at us.
So, okay, let's start here. Bogish, do you think we fat shame?
Of course we did not.
We did not?
No, we did not. Enough of Zach Gelb, okay? So when did he become Jack Lane that he can sit here and tell us and give Sean any credit, any advice in this situation either? Leave us alone.
Here's the thing. I don't think we did either. I think we poked fun at Mraz's inconsistency.
Right, and maybe we...
And ridiculousness.
Idiot shamed him. We didn't fat shame him.
But it wasn't about him being overweight. And please don't use that F word because I want this to be a safe zone for...
Husky is great.
Husky.
Husky's great.
For, can I say blobs?
Blobs is a little much.
Okay. So, for huskies.
What about blobby?
No. Chunksters?
Chunksters. I want this to be a safe zone for chunksters, okay?
You're a better human than me.
Because I realize there are listeners out there that are fighting with their battle overweight.
Right.
And I don't want them to feel bad about themselves that I'm somehow judging them because I am not. This
right,
is
you don't know what their thyroid enzymes are like.
I don't know what their thyroid enzymes are like. I do not. So this was not meant as some type of judgment over others. I would never want to do that to our listeners or people out there because I consider myself to be a responsible broadcaster. So I don't think...
Have you listened to your own show?
I don't think... Can I say slobs?
Well, slobs doesn't exactly mean
great.
Husky people.
Okay.
Yeah, skinny person could be a slob.
Pig?
I have called others pigs, so who am I to say you can't call me a pig?
Okay. So I don't want this to be a place where listeners feel like I'm judging weight here. So
pig is fine. Wild boar is not.
Wild. Okay. No F word.
That's an important delineation. Thank you.
No WB words, please, everyone. Feral hog?
Sure.
Okay. But no wild boar. Okay. Swine?
Swine, again, is fine.
Obese?
I think if you just...
It's a technical term.
Yeah, I mean, if you called obese America, I think that's understood that we would classify under that.
Okay. So I can say obese America. I cannot say the F word America.
Right.
Okay.
If you said fat America, again, I could say that.
As a member of the tribe.
Just, I don't know. What is so hard about just saying husky people?
Okay. So do you think, Mraz, and I will defer to you since you are the resident... Pig?
Swine?
Slob?
Nick? Not wild boar. No, that... not... Wait, which one is good again?
Pig is good. Okay. Bogus. This is exactly what we're talking about. This is fat shaming.
So as the resident pig here, that does not feel respectable.
That seems like it should be it should be banned. Take that one back to the panel and see if you guys want to reassess. Okay.
Resident meaty person.
As the resident...
meaty.
Chubby person.
As the resident...
Man with curves?
What about okay. bag of leaves? We've okay. used that yesterday.
As the resident pudding pop?
Okay, perfect. As the resident bag of pudding, do you feel...
Oh, that's even worse.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I think that's out too.
What about an actual bag of pudding?
I mean... Nom, nom.
Think about that for a second.
Chicken?
So, as the resident bag of pudding, do you believe that... Sorry.
Do you know that you still...
You guys have answered the question, by the way. The answer is yes. Sorry.
No, but the thing is we haven't actually asked a question yet because we keep stumbling upon what we can call you.
As... And I don't want to offend anybody, but as the resident pudding pig...
Eat! The pudding pig.
I really think that fat would be the simplest thing here, yeah, Sean. You walked yourself into a corner.
The least offensive thing we could call you.
Fat. The pudding pig sounds like a movie at 3 a.m. on Cinemax.
I mean, in no situation should bag of pudding be more acceptable than fat.
Fat
Shane Moran.
And I said pudding pop. You took it as bacon pudding.
Or pig. You gave me the green light on pig, swine, hog, but not wild boar. I would never call you a wild boar. Do you think that we fat shame?
I think the last 3 minutes is evident that you do. But I do think there's an element. Here's the thing. I do firmly believe if me and my problems intestinally and eating-wise were not a part of the DA show, and let's say I was producing the Zach Gelb show, or I was producing after Arizona Amy Lawrence, I think you would always look at me side-eye, not giving me a chance to know me like you know me now. I think that you grew up in little Warwick, New York, where an apple a day from the patch kept the doctor away. You weren't allowed to have Pop-Tarts or fruit roll-ups. And because of that, you grew up this healthy lifestyle, going on your hikes, your fancy, we get it. You know, all this health stuff.
So you're now health-shaming him.
No.
His family made all the right choices, right. And somehow it was wrong.
But now because
all
of
that. All those fancy hikes, which means just walking.
You didn't have any Twinkies, D.A.
But now you're frowning on me because I went through a good 3-year stretch where my dad was convinced he was going to get Park Place and Broadway from McDonald's Monopoly, and we played it 3 times a week, and that's how I ended up this way. And because of that, you look at me, and you will always think less of me because I'm fat. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And then when it comes to the show, I do back myself in the corners, admittedly. All right, some of this has to be put on my shoulders. But you take glory in knowing at how many failed diet attempts I've had. And to me, instead of being supportive, that is what's good for the gander is good for the goose. And you absolutely root for me to fail because it's for better show content rather than root for me to succeed because it might be better for me to be around till I'm 80 as opposed to 70.
Well, let me be very fair here. I do not root for you to fail. Okay.
Root for the show to succeed, and for the show to succeed, me being fat sells tickets.
Sells tickets. Okay. Let me just be quite clear, Merez. The show would succeed without you being fat. I hate to break it to you. I did this a long time before you ever walked into my life.
I hope.
I actually got a job doing this at CBS Sports Radio before I ever met you. So the show could be, I know, shocking to you, successful without you or you being overweight.
You're taking that the wrong way. Okay. What I am saying is over 7 years.
What's your other way to take it?
I know that you think you sell tickets around here.
Fat shame, Moran.
Let's go back to the necessary, being a sidekick as
I would say in the 7 years, my fatisms have obviously become a backdrop to the show. Have they not? Me being fat not been an underlying theme of the show for 7 years?
No question.
Chicken? It doesn't mean the show could not have succeeded without that. But now that we are here, and now that it is such a backdrop, it would feel weird having me not fat part of the show and everything that comes with being fat.
That's fair. Here's what I want to make very clear. I don't root for you to fail. And I also don't blame your parents consistently because your siblings aren't overweight. Your two sisters, they never had a problem. So you always...
I never let them take the extra McChicken out of the bag.
You always push the buck to your parents. You're always pushing the buck to your parents because you don't take responsibility on everything.
It's not like I got fat at 23. At 8 years old, you think they could have looked at me in a mirror and said, you know what? Maybe we should lay off the Chinese food tonight.
Okay, but...
maybe I shouldn't give him RC Cola tonight.
But you are the guy that declared, I'm going to lose 100 pounds by Taylor's first birthday.
And that's then gained goal. 11 pounds.
And you've gained weight. So it's not your parents' fault anymore.
All right. That part might be true, but it's a psychological battle that was implanted by the parents of a young child who once discovered that all it cost was $2 to have instant mashed potatoes and 3 cookies at the lunch line in third grade. And maybe if I was bringing a bag salad every day, then I wouldn't be like this. But because I couldn't run up and wait to get mediocre meatloaf and pizza sticks and tell my mom, give me $2, and give in, that set the tones in my blood, my mindset, my nerve endings, my enzymes, and everything that trigger the problems I have today.
So here's the only thing about that. And look, you set habits very early in your life. You're absolutely right about that. However, you have a reputation for pushing the buck and responsibility on everything. It's not like you at work or you at the house, at home, as a father, as a husband, are always like, put it on me, I'll do the right thing. You have pushed the buck on everything in life, and this just feels like another one of those.
I can see how you would think that. I could see. I would say 90% of the things in life I absolutely push the buck on. I have made efforts. I fixed the dishwasher the other day, something I would have never done years ago. And just last night, I worked out with a garbage bag on me to sweat water weight, something maybe not I would have done, but I was conscientious of what was going on. And all I will say is this, there is a high probability that we are sitting here a year from now, Taylor's first birthday's passed, and I have not lost a pound. I would agree that that's a high probability, but I mean, that's like drafting a quarterback 17th overall, and there's a high probability he never wins a Super Bowl, but you're going to root for that guy to succeed, are you not? And I don't think I have the fans in my corner at all.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll try to be better fans. Since you do sell tickets around here, we are fans.
Yes.
Big crowd.
Do a polio
today.
Stick a day?
Polio stick.
I mean, we all, Sean, I have putting people friends. I would never fat shame you. Yesterday, we were, I think, confused by a diet you were presenting that really wasn't a diet to lose an astronomical amount of weight in 11
because
months.
Because you had never heard, like, it's okay to have never heard of a diet before. Again, like I pointed out yesterday.
You made it up.
And everybody who's ever made up a diet before has made that diet up. Like, somebody has to invent diets. So if I come in and I'm an innovator and now I bring a new diet to the forefront, like, why can't that be me? Why can't the guy with ketosis be me? Why can't, what do we call him? Brenner,
Phil Keto?
Not Phil Keto, the other guy with the
Atkins?
Wheat wraps. Robert Atkins. Robert Atkins was somebody being laughed at like me at one point. Why can't I be Robert Atkins?
Well, it just feels like the science behind your diet, which is swapping mashed potatoes in for French fries.
Weight Watchers has a point system.
And
it's worked for years.
And eating a cookie a day feels like flimsy science.
Yes, but the other science is these people want to drink the shakes nonstop, and then the moment they have a pasta noodle, 2 months later, boom, they've gained 40 pounds. You need to find things that are sustainable, not just you're going to crash course everything, and then you don't gain it back.
That's true.
I have read a lot of tweets about this, about how diets work. I want to be careful.
Out of breath.
I want to be careful.
We knew it wasn't book,
right?
So it could have been an article.
I was going with pamphlets, yeah. But tweets is even better.
Right. Bottom line is this. You guys have fat shamed, then that's okay. I have to take that on with me. But don't deny that you've been fat shamers. And I think that's where the truth lies here this morning on the DA Show.
That's the poll question this morning. Is the DA Show guilty of fat shaming? You can vote at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. Andrew Bogish is in with headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
French fried.
DA, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save pay an average of $796 less per year. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. I'm sorry, but I got to do it. Everybody went drunk tonight. Everybody had fun tonight. Enjoy having that in your head the rest of the day. We play it because Wang Chung, the 27th seed in this year's Australian Open, beat Serena Williams today, 6-4, 7-5 in the third set. In the third round, the earliest Serena has left Melbourne since 2006.
All right.
Her name is Wang Chung?
That is correct. Now, it's spelled, Chung is spelled Q-I-A-N-G, but pronounced Chung. So her name is Wang Chung.
Oh, my God. There's a reason to get into women's tennis now.
If that floats your boat, there you go.
There's a Coco Gauff and a Wang Chung?
Yes.
I am in.
And they're both still playing because Coco Gauff beat Naomi Osaka in straight sets today.
Well, this is good news. This is big news. Now I got a reason to watch.
And Wang Chung has a theme song. That's great.
Really?
Could Wang Chung and Coco Gauff play, or are they different weight classes?
Okay. Moving on. Do you really think women's tennis is based on weight?
It's not weight, but age groups, I assume.
Coco
Everybody's in one? Like, there's not like an A division, a B division?
Well, Coco Gauff doesn't play in the teenage Australian Open.
The JV version.
Well, there's different champions. They have the twins champions, the men's, the women's.
The twins. Yeah, who won the twins championship?
Are you innovating tennis right now? You innovated diets yesterday?
I'm not going to pretend I'm Andre Agassi here, guys. I mean, come on. It's not exactly we lead Australian Open every day.
Who won the twins title? Was it Danny DeVito or Arnold Schwarzenegger?
So they can play.
Welterweight champ.
They can play if it aligns on.
Yes. They're all part of the same tournament.
Yeah. All the women play together and all the men play together. Weight be damned. And there is no fat shaming at the Australian Open.
And the and the teams of two are not twins. They're doubles.
Doubles. Yeah. Singles and doubles. I remember from badminton.
From what?
Badminton.
Sounds okay. Like you said bearminton.
There was just a weird emphasis in there that threw me off. To the NBA, LeBron and
Giannis Adebayo
voted All-Star Game
I'm
captains.
Not sure that's right.
That was Stacey King on a long-ago Chicago Bulls broadcast.
He was fearing that pronunciation for the entire week.
LeBron and
God, we got the Bucks coming up on Thursday.
So those two guys will pick their rosters next month for the All-Star Game in Chicago. Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Luka Doncic, and James Harden also picked the starters from the West. Kemba Walker, Trae Young, Pascal Siakam, and Joel Embiid from the East. Lakers head coach Frank Vogel will coach LeBron's team, and reserves are revealed next Thursday. On the court last night, LeBron, AD, and their Lakers thumped the Nets 128-113 in Brooklyn. LeBron, 27 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists. He's now 17 points away from Kobe in third place all time. The Wizards outscored the Cavs 124-112, and the Mavericks hit 22 threes in a 133-125 win in Portland. Luka Doncic's team is now 15-5 on the road, just 13-11 at home.
It's just us against everybody, I guess. You know, we just... I don't know. I wish we would play like this at home too. But, you know, we got a lot of things to learn, and we're going to play at some point like this at home for sure.
Doncic with 27 points and 9 assists. Damian Lillard, 47 in the loss, the game after scoring 61. Antonio Brown finally turned himself into Hollywood, Florida police late last night. That after 2 days of waiting, Brown facing multiple charges, including felony burglary with battery for Tuesday's altercation with a moving truck driver. Brown has a bond hearing this morning. And college hoops, Indiana knocked off number 11 Michigan State, 67-63. Number 12 Oregon left standing after OT with USC, 79-70. And number 23 Colorado downed Washington State, 78-56. D.A.?
Thank you, Andrew. I don't quite remember a situation where, with Antonio Brown, any other athlete, you have to really be careful making light of any of this because you don't know if he'll be dead the next day and you'll look really bad and insensitive for it in a day and age where things like that come back to haunt you. It's not that I think that this is a laughing matter. I just think that a lot of people are very careful not to make it a laughing matter, even though he used to be a laughing matter, because so many people are worried that it's going to go totally awfully wrong and that the next day it could blow up in your face and look like you are completely heartless and awful. And that's what's really interesting about this. It's like everybody kind of knows that this is so bad, you shouldn't poke fun at it anymore. And thankfully, people aren't, but I think it's because everybody recognizes just how off the rails this is. When we come back here on the show, Giancarlo Stanton, the biggest bum in baseball? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's Permission Granted podcast.
Pete the Body Bellotti and my both working relationship and friendship, I believe, were damaged on Tuesday, January 21st on the DA show.
It was very obvious.
It's very frosty. I tried to joke with him throughout the remainder of the show. There was no joking. I just tried to have a little conversation with a post show in the newsroom, and I'm just getting grunts and blank stares, and he feels personally disrespected by me, and frankly, I find that to be great.
Download the PGP today on iTunes and play.it or listen at daoncbs.com and the show's Facebook page, Zapsack.
Check it out. The PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show about the show within the show. On Monday, Mraz crossed his picket line after Monday's strike, rather, on Tuesday, and his half-hearted apology rubbed everybody the wrong way, especially Pete, who believes in integrity in his job. We did a dive into the strike that wasn't quite a strike by Mraz in this week's Permission Granted podcast. Our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. Giancarlo Stanton, since being traded from the Miami Marlins to the New York Yankees, has largely been underwhelming and a disappointment. Yes, he has hit some home runs. Yes, there's been some highlights, some moments. But by and large, He's been either injured or striking out when it mattered most. And now, going into Super Bowl week, Giancarlo Stanton, of course, Miami in his resume, has a hashtag Super Bowl Miami 2020 post on Instagram where he is bench pressing Adriana Lima. Now, Adriana Lima, a model you might recognize if you're a sports fan, she once dated Matt Harvey. She also once dated Julian Edelman. So she's working out with Giancarlo Stanton, and he is bench pressing her. He's on his back, and he's got Adriana Lima, her legs under one arm, her torso under the other, and he's lifting her into the air. This makes Mraz all sorts of angry. What bothers you so much about Giancarlo Stanton bench pressing Adriana Lima?
Because he just spent the entire year last year rehabbing from one injury after another, only to come back for 3 days at a time, only to pull another muscle. And then when we got to the postseason, this stiff gets out there, hits one home run versus the Astros, and then suddenly shows up the next day at the ballpark and can't play and wouldn't allow us to replace him on the roster because he could have been ready for the World Series and held a roster spot and the Yankees had to play the Astros with 24 guys because he makes all the money in the world and cannot stay healthy. So how do you rehab and how do you refocus to try to save face in New York? By putting on Instagram, you not bench pressing weights, you not working out those core muscles, those obliques, no. You got to grab a piece of tail and lift her in the air 15 times every step you can. And this is the way you're taking your rehab serious? We're supposed to take Giancarlo serious as a star when he's bench pressing a model? Come on, bro. Get with it.
Can I give you Giancarlo Stanton's salaries over the next couple of years?
Sure.
Giancarlo Stanton, this year, 2020, will make $26 million. 2021, at 31 years old, $29 million. 2022, $29 million. 2023, at the age of 33, it goes up to $32 million. 2024, $32 million. Oh. 2025, $32 million. 2026, $29 million. 2027, $25 million.
And there you have it, DA. When you're making that much money and those models flock to you at the gym, does it matter that you play 9 games a year and can't get out there for the big games? Or does it matter that you have all the money in the world to go to pool parties, get money guns, spray them all over, and throw models up in the air like they're dumbbells? Because that's what Stanton's focus is. Get this stiff off of my team.
Giancarlo has a full no-trade clause, so you can't just trade him anywhere. And he has an opt-out after this season. But if he's making $29 million or $32 million minimum for the next 7 years, my guess is he's not opting out after the year.
No, he isn't. I wish he would. If he opted out, it'd be the best day in the world. We could throw a parade here, but he won't. He won't. But hey, listen, maybe Kate Upton will get up there. She could get thrown up there like he's doing chin-ups or something. Enough's enough.
Giancarlo Stanton, one of the biggest disasters contract-wise in baseball. He's going to make that Albert Pujols deal look good. When we come back here on the show, Jimmy G, is he being disrespected going into the Super Bowl? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.